It's amazing, isn't it? Hearing the same story year after year, and you can't help but feel the wonder of it, can you? Even tonight, as we sing songs that many of us have heard so many times and hear passages
in scripture that span centuries, it moves you. God's plan for his world. And the last passage we've just had read to us talks about darkness. It starts in darkness. Now, we're getting there, aren't we, outside? It's not really dark. It's getting there, isn't it? I wonder if you've ever experienced pitch black. Now, you might think, oh, I've experienced it outside on a cloudy night. But I mean pitch black. At university, I studied rocks. And we went to a cave system once, like this. And we went down into the cave system, really deep, and it was lit beautifully, and you could see all the different rock types, and we all got really excited about the different rock types. And then, when we were right at the very end of the cave system, quite a long way in, a few hundred meters in, the guide said, we're going to turn off all the lights now. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you're about to experience pitch black. I was like, oh, I've closed my eyes before, I know what pitch black is like. And she turned off the lights and it went dark. And you kind of got that thing, haven't you, where you kind of just wait for your eyes to adjust and then you can pick out your hands and things. But 2-3 minutes went by and you couldn't see your hand even if it was in front of your face. It was extraordinary. I never experienced darkness like that. This incredible passage written down by Isaiah, spoken by God, written by Isaiah 800 years before Jesus was born in the manger, starts like this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. What do you think Christmas is all about? If you go on to TV, or you go out to the high street, it's about gifts, it's about family, it's about food. 800 years before Jesus is born, here Isaiah shows us the state of humanity. We are in deep darkness. Not darkness where we can kind of fumble our way out of it, not darkness where we can kind of see the shadows like we can see outside and navigate our way, but just not clearly. Deep darkness. Darkness in relation to God, the God who made us. Deep darkness. We've ignored him, lived if he's not there. We have feared everything rather than God. Fear is rampant in our society today. But it's not the fear of God. We've believed anything and followed anything rather than the one who made us. We are in deep darkness in relation to God. That is Isaiah's statement of the condition of the human heart, and that is the reality then, and 800 years later, and 2,000 years later today. Deep darkness. While we were in this cave, she then turned on her torch, and as her torch went on, a bit like this picture here, We could see just a glimmer of the cave around us. And it was amazing. You imagined in your mind where things were and they weren't there. And you suddenly got perspective again and could see a little bit of where we were going. Light in darkness has an incredible effect, doesn't it? When she turned on the full lights, it was amazing to see exactly where we are and what was going on. And here you have a people in deep darkness, but there's a promise of a light, a great light, it says in verse 2. And in this deep darkness, a light has dawned. It's a light that deals with our darkness in relation to God. It deals with the burdens that hold us back. It deals with the fear of death that looms over all human beings. It's a light that deals with everything that keeps us in the dark. And it replaces it. Do you see what it says? It replaces it. Look at what it says. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Darkness to light to joy. It's not a message that the world needs to hear this Christmas. Fear, trembling, uncertainty. No. Darkness to light to joy. That is the Christmas message. It continues in verse 6 to show us what this joy is and where this light comes from and who it is that brings this light. Famous words, holy words, words that are amazing. For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. That spoken word gives you a little bit of power, doesn't it? That video we saw? You just start to feel, wow, God himself came to earth as a baby in a stable. The God of the universe that made every life, every breath, every molecule, every atom came as a baby. And that was his plan. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And look at what he'll be called. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is not any ordinary baby. This is not a baby that you can kind of pay lip service to. This is someone who will change the future forever. Look at the four clues we get in the names he's given. Wonderful Counselor. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? I'm sure you have. Have you ever thought about why you're here or where you're going? Often they're questions we ponder in darkness, aren't they, at night time? Look, he's called Wonderful Counselor. He is the one who guides. He is the one who shows the way. He is a wonderful counselor. And then talking of this baby born in a stable, it says he is Mighty God. He's not just another human prophet like Isaiah or prophets like many world religions are based on. No, he is Mighty God. He's not an ordinary baby, but God himself who made the universe coming close saying, this is what I'm like. This is me. You want to know me? Here I am, right before your very eyes. And then Everlasting Father. It's a funny title to give a baby, isn't it? Everlasting Father. And yet it shows that he is not just a baby who is finite and powerless, but he is everlasting and he is a father. I think for me it's one of the most extraordinary characteristics of God, isn't it? That he's not just some out there force. He's not just some ruler and creator, but he is always and always has been and always will be a father, a loving father. I remember when Neans was born, 12 years ago. It was an emotional night for all of us. I'm sure it was for many of you when you had your first child. Nina was born at 2:30 in the morning by emergency C-section, which, thank the Lord for the prenatal classes. I knew exactly what was going on. I concentrated and asked loads of questions in the classes. But it never prepares you for that moment when you think your baby is coming and suddenly there's panic in the room and your wife is taken off into theatre. And because it was middle of the night at the Horton, and because it was a skeleton staff, I had to go in and kind of help. I was all put on with masks and all kinds of stuff. And then when Nina was born, she was given to me and I was put in the room. And for the first half an hour of her life, it was just her and me. Just her and me while the nurses and the doctors dealt with Alice. And it was a frightening moment for me and a wonderful moment all the same. I had no idea what to do, so I held her like this for about the first 10 minutes and then all the blood drained out my arms. And then I used my phone to call my mum at 2:30 in the morning. I said, Mum, what do I do? Nobody's prepared me for this moment. And she said, just cuddle her. just cuddle her and just talk to her. And it's amazing, isn't it? You know, you look at your daughter and you love her the moment you see her. And that first week, she did nothing but cry and poo. That was it, you know? And yet, you realise you love them more than you could possibly have imagined before you became a father. And I remember thinking time and time again that week, wow, if that's how much I love my child, and they've done nothing to earn that love, they've done nothing to deserve that love, but I love them anyway, how much does my everlasting Father love me? And the amazing thing is, he loves us enough to not leave us in the dark. He loves us enough to come here into deep darkness to bring light that gives joy. He is the everlasting Father, and his love can be trusted and lasts forever. And his fourth title, Prince of Peace. This baby came to bring peace. Peace. Not peace in a kind of beauty pageant peace way, but peace between us and God. We've rejected him. We deserve the consequence of rejecting him. And yet, the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father comes to earth, humbles himself from the palace to the stable, as they said in that poem. Why? To die in your place and mine. To bring peace between us and God. He chose to leave heaven, come to earth, to die a hideous death on the cross, to bring peace between me and God. To restore a loving relationship between me and the Father. Not that the Father had ever stopped loving me, but in my darkness I had ignored him. It's incredible, isn't it, what God has done for us. And as we approach this season in the church calendar, in our calendar as a country, it's a great opportunity to stop and remember, isn't it? What a wonderful, wonderful plan God has for the world. That though we are in deep darkness, he brings light that leads to joy that lasts forever. Through his son, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's a time, isn't it, Christmas, for food and family and friends and presents. But it is primarily a time for Jesus to remember the author, the creator, the savior, the sustainer of it all. He is the light of the world. So take time. Take time over the next week. Take time over the next few days to stop in amongst the busyness and in amongst the celebrations, in amongst the jumpers. This is the first time I've ever worn a Christmas jumper. In amongst the jumpers to remember him. But not just think about him intellectually, to talk to him as your father, to thank him as the Son, and to rely on him as the Spirit who is with you always. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's watch this video. Thank you.